It's Tuesday, January 27th, 2015, and you're listening to episode 362 of Fear the Boot, a show about tabletop role-playing games and a little bit more. Running time for this episode is 49 minutes. Welcome to Fear the Boot. My name is Dan.
This is Wayne.
My name's Chad.
My name is Pat.
And this is Chris.
Whoa, Chris.
What? Who?
Been a while. I think
God,
it's been...
He brought his sex voice.
I know. I think it's been, baby. I think it's, baby, been about a long 6 years. Time. It's actually, it's been like about 10 or 11 episodes at least. So, yeah, it's been a few, it's been a couple of months.
Yeah, I really ought to uninstall Skype so we can keep these little sprints going longer. Well, actually, we don't use Skype anymore. We got tired
of
it.
That's true. Yeah, I'm the one with the Skype problems, so...
Yeah, you are. You do have some Skype problems. So we switched to Google just so we can hear each other because we don't do remote recording. Chris records on his own end. So we've just picked whatever tool we want. You know, Skype, look, I hate Skype. It has so many freaking problems, especially if you're in an area that Skype doesn't perform well. And I don't know enough about the architecture of Skype to fully understand it.
But
I
it's
know,
always wanting to upgrade your user experience.
Yeah, that too. It's constantly updating. And I know they have this node-based architecture for the way it communicates, which can get really bitchy at times. But the nice thing is now that we've cut Skype out,
I like Skype because I like robots and I like it when people sound like me.
Yeah, that would be plenty of that. But Skype has a lot of recording tools and Google does not. And so it kind of forces you when you're recording the other person, you have to use Skype. Fortunately, we don't have to do that to communicate with Chris because he records on his own end. All right, speaking of Chris and things he's recording, things other people are recording.
Yeah, so by the time, I would imagine by the time this episode drops, actually, the season will be over. But if you haven't gone out and listened to Gamers Behaving Badly yet, I think that you should. Not only just because I'm involved with it, but two of the other hosts here are lending their lovely voices to the cast. It was a fun experience. It's about damn time the thing finally comes out, and it's very easy to listen to because all the episodes are very short, so about, you know, 10, 11 minutes. And it's funny.
So the setup for this, it's an audio drama about a group of gamers and the Game Master.
Is it a drama or a dramedy? Or a docudrama?
This particular season, well, you know, a dramedy actually probably is more accurate because there is some drama that unfolds as they are sitting around the gaming table going through the adventure. There are some heated, dramatic moments accentuated with comedy.
All I care about is I got my loot.
You did
it
get your loot.
It struck me as pornography.
Pornography.
Now you're talking.
Yeah,
that, I would be interested in that.
Yeah, yeah, and you can listen to this.
I woke up, finally.
You can listen to this on YouTube. Chris, where else you put? I know you have it on YouTube. Where else have you been posting?
I do have it on YouTube. I did a little experiment. I posted, even though it's audio, I posted each episode on YouTube. Of course, you can get the actual podcast MP3s at tabletalesseries.com is the website where it's all located at. So, yes. And, of course, if you hang out the forums, odds are you're probably going to see an ad popping up around there. And so just click through.
Yeah, we do have ads for it that will appear on the forums and the main site. They're intermixed with Sojourn ads. And, you know, Chris, one other thing that might get people a little bit interested, who are all the voice actors on this?
All the voice actors are, we have, of course, yourself, Dan. We have Wayne. We have the comedy rock geek, Mikey Mason. A gentleman, he's a booter, Sean McHale. Seneca Presley also lent his voice. And then a fellow from my old gaming group up in Duluth, Scott Nelson, who has also some very lovely baritone bass tones, much like yourself. I would have to say, out of all of the characters, he probably had the most demands placed on him because his character in the show is that player who's always, you know, very much in character all the time in the voice and all that. And so he had to really kind of flip back and forth between just being a player and then also being in character quite a bit. And he did actually a really good job. So and his stuff came out very well. I was very pleased. Oh, and of course, I'd be an asshole, a complete other fucking asshole, if I forgot the fact that my wife is actually also in the show, which I almost just did.
Oh, yeah.
So, yes. So Julie also lent her lovely tones to the show.
She's just a rounding error in your existence.
That's right. Yeah. Oops, so, just one Chris, small detail we forgot.
So, Chris, my wife got a huge kick out of the recording of these because Chris had us record each line three times. Uh-huh. So my wife's in the living room, and she's used to me recording other things. But this is the first time where I'm sitting there and saying the same thing three different ways.
Uh-huh. And I'll take that sword. I'll take that sword. I'll take that sword.
That's pretty much it. Yeah. And she could hear it out from the living room. And she just occasionally I'd have to stop because she'd just be busting out laughing because of something I had said three times in a row.
Actually, on that note, you know, listening to it as I'm editing, of course, I'm listening to all of those takes as well. So there's a particular sequence or one of the episodes where Wayne's character is having horrible things done to them by Dan's character, who's the GM. And so Wayne has to make a bunch of reaction noises, lots of like, you know, eeks and ah and things like that.
Are you talking Wayne's character or Wayne's character's character?
Wayne's character's character. Well, no, actually just Wayne's character, not his character.
So
character.
Meta.
So Dan's character's character was doing bad things to mess up Wayne's character, but not Wayne's character's character.
Holy Dan Schachter is the GM.
Oh.
I feel like I'm in an
Dan's
Inception
character's
podcast.
NPC.
So the NPC, so all of Dan's character's characters, plural.
That's right.
Gotcha. Yeah, I think I can follow this.
But so listening to multiple reactions from Wayne where he's like shrieking and gasping was actually pretty amusing. So
you should ask him what role Sarah had in that.
Wait, what are we talking about?
Yeah, so all right, since this is apparently like Chris the episode, our gaming topic we're going to talk about today is about Chris.
Well,
so
it's,
go ahead.
And all of Chris's many problems.
I know.
So just go ahead. Give us one thing to deride. We don't want to be here all night.
How can he pick just one?
No kidding. Look at the laundry list that is your miserable existence and pick one thing. Kind of give the setup of what happened recently within our gaming group. We're playing a Dungeon Crawl Classic. And in this game, they use alignments, but they just use lawful, neutral, chaotic. All right. So I was playing a lawful cleric. One of the other players in our group, he was playing, unbeknownst to me, he was playing a chaotic paladin. All right, I did not know he was chaotic. I had gathered enough that he was playing a paladin, but since he was just essentially starting out, he was in search of a god. So, as you know, just part of a role-playing encounter kind of thing, he and I talked and eventually took his character kind of under my wing, kind of a spiritual guidance kind of thing as it's going on here. And for at least two sessions, as we're going through the adventure, we're having role-playing moments where I'm saying, yes, this is how you kind of focus your energies so you can heal, and this is how you appeal to your god, and you do all this. And the player, Matthew, I'll give him a lot of credit, he was totally going on. Well, so I'm thinking that this is all legit. And we get to a point in the adventure where things were going very, very bad for us, and we had encountered some sort of trap. Well, then it was at that point that Matthew decided as his character that facade apparently that he had been creating this entire time was about to crack. So he starts not only mocking my character, but also mocking my god as well. So he's insulting, he's doing all of these things that would be insulting to my character. And so it took me a little bit to actually kind of realize what was really going on, because I was actually attributing some of the behavior to just the player himself, that this was just because sometimes he's goofy every once in a while. So I thought, okay, this is just Matthew being Matthew. But I was, you know, it was made aware to me later on that no, this is what was going on. So the more I thought about it after that session was over, the more I realized my character probably is actually very upset about this whole turn of events. Kind of came to the conclusion that somehow justice has to be served and, you know, respect has to be given. And so that's kind of where the conundrum comes in, is because I've got this spectrum as to how much do I really want this to escalate? Do I want my character to have a showdown with him? Do I want to wait until it's cinematically fitting moment when I'm holding, you know, trying to save him over the ledge and I let go of his hand? You know, I trust Matthew as a player that he'll probably be able to keep this separate, but not all groups are that way. I'll even admit right out that me personally, for a little while, as I thought about this, I also got a little bit upset by that. But I mean, I got control of that, you know, realizing it's just a game.
When I hear people tell stories like this, and when I've been involved in stories like this, we even had one with Pat and myself, where Pat got upset with me that something I did in character, where Pat got upset. Okay, so the Chad's character's character.
Let's not do that.
Yeah. So Pat got upset with Chad for something that Chad's character did to Pat's character. And, you know, there was that separation and such. And my take on that and on what you're talking about, Chris, that the best way to handle it, and there is a caveat to this, which is know your group, but I think the best way to handle this, where the player did something, it's in character, the character's doing it, it kind of upsets me a little bit, but maybe what he did was not that great, and it's not efficient to the story, and it's not cohesive to the team. Instead of saying, okay, we need to talk, we need to have an intervention, you hurt my feelings. Yeah. Instead of doing that, keep role-playing it. The situation will solve itself, because what you're talking about there, I think, is perfect. His character did something that upset your character that is motivating him to do something that's called role-playing.
Well, yeah, and
keep going with it. Now, I want to point out, too, though, that there is a caveat to this, of course. You have to know your group, because is the player now, not the character, the player, someone who has to have their way all the time, or someone who gets all butthurt if things don't work out or something like that. So when you're on the cliff edge and you let him go into the boiling lava and kill his character, is he the type of person, or is your group the type of group where they would go, wow, that was awesome because it created all this drama and all this tension, and here's the culmination of all this story. What a great narrative within this game that we're playing. Or are they going to say, dude, why'd you kill my character? I was just joking.
Here's how I was dissecting it mentally. And I think, well, yeah, I guess this leads to my own caveats. Mm-hmm. But what I was thinking at first was, okay, if what this guy did was truly, purely in character, and he has a strong in character, out of character divide, you know, he can really separate himself from his character.
And you then should be able to do that. If you can't do that, there's issues.
Well, yes. I'd say if you can't do it at all, you've got issues. I mean, if it's not strong, I mean, that's, I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah.
But if you let him go off the cliff, and I can give you a few strategies, by the way, for how
best
do terrible
to do
things to him. But if you decide to let him go off the cliff, for example, and he can't handle that,
right,
then what I would say is, well, then apparently he doesn't have a good in-character, out-of-character divide.
No, he doesn't.
And he was willingly being a dick to you, knowing he was being a dick to you. Mm. But that kind of led me to another thought of, well, yeah, you can say, hey, good for the goose, good for the gander, and that's funny, but that's not really a mature way of handling it.
Right.
And so I think I'm going to roll this back and say my initial advice is, I think you ought to sit down and talk to him and say, dude, what was that about? And why were you making a character whose primary expressed personality trait is scorn of my character?
So that's kind of where some of the confusion comes in, because I did have that question, because I thought, okay, I understand what you did, but that particular behavior to the group as a whole, I don't know, it seemed a bit unnecessary. I was having a hard time understanding the why of the whole thing, because there's been no, you know, I was having a hard time trying to discern what the end result is here. What is the reason?
Did it make an interesting story or narrative within the game, or was it just, this guy played this card and he was like, ha ha, showed you. And everyone's like, oh. And then they moved on with the story. If that were the case, and everyone and yourself are kind of sitting there going like, huh, okay, well, that was a thing, then I would just personally let it slide, because how I would interpret that, now again, I don't know any of these people. Mm. I would interpret that as, okay, this guy made a, in his mind, this played out a certain way. Mm-hmm. And he thought it was really awesome, but you know what? He got the equation wrong, and it wasn't really awesome, and he maybe made a little social faux pas. And the way I would kind of deal with that would be like, oh, okay, move on. So instead of, like, you know, there doesn't need to be a big thing about
it. Well, I don't know, though, how
unless
you can make
what
it,
you're saying is, like, what you're saying, Dan, because I'm pointing at Dan. What you're saying, Dan, that does need to be consideration. Is there something that, like, Chris is totally unaware of? This guy hates Chris. He hates the way Chris smells, he looks, and
well,
he does things.
Or he just felt it would be appropriate to,
is he being a bully?
Exactly.
That's the question. Is he being a bully?
Yeah, he felt it would be appropriate to agitate or insult Chris in the game.
So here's the thing. When something like this happens, I think the first thing you have to do is sit back and think, am I upset by this? Is this, am
yes.
I?
Yeah.
The dog's clearly
am I
are.
Out of character? Am I upset with the other player? If the answer is yes, I don't think you should keep it in role play. Because I think that if there are actual real out of character feelings that are upset, then if you continue playing it in role play, it will make it worse
too, because people get upset in the moment and then they calm down,
right?
Yes.
So
that's why, after time, if you find you are still upset,
oh yeah,
then this is
if you're upset in that session and then you right. come back a week or a month later and you're just like, oh my God, I'm still boiling about this, then yes, yes. time out.
But I would do in your situation though, Chris, yeah. if you're not actually upset about it as Chris, I would make notes.
Or as Chris's character.
Let Chris's character be upset. If Chris is not upset,
yeah.
I would make notes of all of the insults he makes at your god. And you're the cleric. Next time he needs healing,
bingo.
Go to heal yeah. him and then read back his own words.
Right.
And then don't heal.
I mean, that's the thing. You can be passive aggressive about it. It's just like, oh, forgive this sinner who yeah. said you were a bag of turds. Yeah. Heal well, him anyway.
Who's a bag of turds now? Right. Mr. Needs healing.
And that, Chris, if this is in character or just general childishness is the right way of handling it, and usually it is, mm-hmm. then, you know, look. Dungeon Crawl Classics is a brutal game.
It is a very brutal game.
There does need to be a fair amount of team right. cohesion.
And he's going to need some healing.
Bingo. Yeah. He's going to need some healing, and you might choose to withdraw that when he's getting pounded by multiple enemies, and you could just spend your rounds berating him before he dies.
And then he'd be like, Chris, why aren't you healing me? And be like, hey, there's no atheist in a foxhole.
Yeah. No.
the paladin has an axe in him. The warrior has a hangnail. I'm going to go heal the hangnail.
Yeah, because yeah. that warrior, yeah. he's...
Or, oh, that could get infected.
You
dude.
Can be exactly. like, hey, why don't you go fight this thing? I'm totally going to back you up. Wait until he overextends himself. And then be like, eh, you know?
Well, you know, and that...
I find your entire belief system ridiculous.
it's funny they mention that because I did find myself thinking of what Chad mentioned about the whole passive aggressiveness of ways in which I could do that. You know, one of the powerful spells that a cleric has in the beginning, just as an example, is casting their version of the blessed spell on yourself. And it can usually, if you get it good enough, you can affect people within, you know, 5 feet of you in every direction. And so, you know, I'm waiting for that time when the encounters come up and he's by me absorbing that bonus, and I just purposely take my action to move away, even if it's detrimental to me, you know, just to, yeah, be a bit passive-aggressive about that whole thing.
I keep thinking about this one game I was in at Fear the Con, which is coming up, and there's going to be a Kickstarter, and you should totally back that. But
hell yeah.
I was in this game at Fear the Con as a pulp game, and I might have, well, probably mentioned this story on the mics before, so... Tough, you're going to listen to it again. But I was playing this big game hunter, and there was this other guy, Booter, Ruben, actually, who was playing a Native American hunter himself. It's just that I was the big game African hunter who would kill the man-eaters of Borneo or whatever, and I was famous, and he was a tribal person. And we instantly hated each other. Because, you know, he was a savage and I was this oppressor and, you know, and I was cocky and blah, blah, blah. And he was this spiritual hippie. And then as the game went on, there's combats and stuff. It was like it was a competition and, you know, I'm going to be better than that savage. And then as the game went on and the tension increased, it was more like a competition. It's just like, oh, that was a nice shot. You want to see a good shot? Here's this. And then as the game went on, we became comrades in arms. And by the end of the game, there were dinosaurs because it's a pulp thing. A T-Rex was charging him down, and I stood over him because he was wounded, blasting away at the T-Rex, and either I was going to make the roll a critical 20 sort of shot, or we were both going to die, and I was going to stand my ground with my friend. If that tension hadn't been there, we would have never had that moment. That narrative within the story would have never existed. And Ruben and I never talked about it. We never agreed on it. It happened.
Yeah. And certainly there are a handful of character stories. I don't know, maybe a lot of character stories.
I made the roll, by the way.
That, oh, good. Nice. That only work if you have that kind of enemy mind sort of setup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think that's fine. I mean, we've had role-playing games like that, several, mm-hmm. within our group, where there was...
Do you know Enemy Mine is a remake of a World War II movie?
I did. Yeah.
About Hell of the Pacific.
Yeah, yeah. Japanese and American pilot on an island together.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a matter of preference, but I like Enemy Mine better.
You know, they're so... The story is absolutely identical, except for the baby, that, you know... One is sci-fi and one isn't, so they're like totally different yet absolutely the same.
Yeah, I like the sci-fi flavor.
Yeah,
of it.
Yeah, well, that's cool. And the sci-fi one's a good movie.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think that's the question I have here: is if this was in character, then this can create either an interesting moment of coming back together, or Chris can go have his revenge. If this is out of character, if this guy's being passive aggressive, or in this case, maybe aggressive aggressive towards Chris, then as funny as it would be to gank the guy in game, that really could just create more problems, which is why I'm saying I think you need to sit down and be like,
we've had a similar instance in the past within a different game, and you know, the circumstances were a little bit different, but you know, kind of like what Chad described is, and I really like this approach, is finding the solution, you know, through role playing, because whatever you end up doing is still, it's going to add to the story. The fact that this happened, even though I'm confused as to why this happened in the first place, I got to give him kudos because the timing of it made perfect sense. We were in some dire straits, and so his character clearly was cracking a little bit under the stress and lost that facade. And so once we got out there, there's some definite anonymity kind of going on here, and we haven't had the chance to resolve it yet. In a certain sense, it's its own little subplot cliffhanger kind of thing going on that I'm looking forward to, you know, revisiting once we kind of get back to that. But taking that approach to finding a solution, whatever that solution might be, so that it makes that better story, it does make a difference, you know. And the nice part is that, you know, on a player level, we do kind of know each other, and we certainly know each other enough to know that, no, he's not a dick in real life, and though I may have been upset, I'm not going to be a vengeful asshole in real life either. So we're fortunate in that aspect, but not all groups are.
You could take the path of least resistance, too, if you decide to roleplay it out, where it's, you know, you do the passive-aggressive stuff, and that could be fun. Or you could take the road less traveled of your guy is a cleric, and your character is upset. And maybe you take a piece of that little bit in your heart that's upset with this, and you apply that to the character and your role play and make it more real, make the role play more real. And you take the character, the cleric, on this journey of trying to win the guy over. I mean, he's a cleric after all. Mm-hmm. I mean, aren't they supposed to do that sort of thing? And accept that you might fail at this, and the failure, it might be interesting.
Yeah, I would probably use every healing at this point. Like I said, I like the idea of quoting back to him his own words, but I also would probably at that point use every healing as a evangelizing the god.
Yeah.
It's like, I know you don't have faith, but he still believes in you.
Wouldn't it be awesome, too, if this other guy was going for the really long play where he does this, he did what he did to Chris, and he's like, ha, insult you, play the card, boom. Screw you, buddy. And Chris doesn't have the talk with them. And they play and they play and they play. And then through a slow role play, it comes out that another priest abused this guy as a kid, or a paladin killed his family, or whatever. There's like some Batman moment going on there. And so he saw Chris and he's projecting that anger on Chris. And it's just the long play on it.
Sure.
And there's this role play where it's coming around. I mean, wouldn't that be at the end of that journey? It would be better for you not to have known and uncovered that. I mean, I'm not saying he is doing that.
I have trouble believing it goes that deep.
Right. But I don't think it does.
Fair enough.
I don't think it does. But if it did, what you need to do in that situation is you need to make sure that gets out into the role play sooner rather than later. That's not one of the things where you want to sort of set this up and have, oh, okay, we're going to role play this for the next 6 months. I'm just going to be a fucking dick to Chris. And then on the last episode, I'm going to say, somebody touched me in a bad place. You know, it's like, pull that early and then let's like develop this thing. Okay. But
their plan for the podcast. We podcast for years making fun of him just so in the end we can still make fun of him.
Yeah, that's basically. True. Yeah. So, I'm actually doing a long play as far as the podcast goes.
All right. So for my advice on this, I'm going to wind this back. We've been focusing solely on what should Chris do? What should basically the affected person do in this situation? But I want to roll back. I want to give my advice to the person that wants to do this kind of thing in the first place, like to the Michael, whatever the hell this guy's name is, Michael, or to the one that wants to be this way. My advice to them is like, you need, like you're saying, you need to know your group. And if you're going to do something like this, if you want to have animosity with a player, you need to consider that before you actually do it. You need to know your group, know the person that you're doing it with, and think about it. It's like, what is motivating you to want to be this way to this specific person? What is this, you know, what kind of a character are you doing here? Is it something that we really need to do? Full well knowing that this can cause a problem. I mean, be aware that if you're going to be sort of dickish or douchebaggish to another player, that can cause tension. So why are you wanting to do this?
The flag is the insult.
Yeah.
Because at that point, even if it's my character insulting your character is being insulted.
Right.
Which means your thing that you've spent all of this time developing, that you've made this deep background, that you have all this investment in, is being insulted.
Right.
And it is by that measure a pass-through insult to the player.
Right. For some players, that wouldn't be a problem. I think Chad and I could both do this and have no problem.
Mm-hmm. We did. We got into a major fight. I grabbed your balls and squeezed as hard as I could.
And it
was great.
Yeah. We both know each other enough to know that wouldn't bother us. But
if you don't,
I know other people that I would never do something like that.
If you don't know somebody very well, doing that, that's a risk. It's a gamble for certain.
Well, and I think that there's tactics that you can do to make that work, too. Like, again, know your audience, of course. Mm-hmm. Don't play the trump card. Don't be like, this guy did, aha, out of nowhere, gotcha, stab, stick, twist, twist, twist. Instead, maybe kind of ramp it up slowly over time. And see how it goes. Well,
I want to even take a
sample before you jump into the whole meal.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe even in a different game.
For me, I really think that the best way to approach it, if you're hell bent as a player, you're hell bent on I have to be a dick to Dan. Let me talk. Hold on.
Jesus.
Gosh, I love when that happens.
This is like when I hung up the phone on you and you couldn't handle it.
No, but I'm just trying to get my point out. I've been waiting. But if you just really are, for whatever reason, you just in your mind, I have to be this. I'm going to play this character and I want to be douchey to Dan's character. And this is not really expected. My advice would be like what we've done on very many occasions. Sit down and talk about it before the campaign begins and say, okay, here's my idea for my character. By the way, Dan, your character, I think that we're going to have some animosity between our characters.
And I want to point out,
it's based sort of like on this.
I want to point out something you said too, that I think is very important that I agree with.
Dan.
Dan, animosity. I just agree with it.
Oh, but not animosity. Just
Dan.
Yeah.
Talk about it before the campaign.
Yeah.
Because you had actually corrected yourself.
Right, and because I didn't mean the individual game session.
And I want to point that out. Don't have the hippie kumbaya talk
before
every single game.
No, but look, what I'm hearing here sounds
communication
to me like,
is good.
Well, if you look at the Fear the Boot Ten Commandments, you know, high up on the list.
It's 11 topics of communication.
Well, pretty much. Where was the group template? Because this should have come out in group template. The second thing, I mean, even if the guy didn't say, well, I'm going to give all the gives, if he at least said, you know, he's kind of got some
quirks. I think it's okay to say, I want to build in some tension between our characters.
Yeah, you don't have to say, this is how I'm going to do it. It's just like, I want some tension. If you agree on it, there you go. But then both parties know. It's like, it's not a shock to me.
But then secondly, know your group. I mean, clearly this guy did not know. Or did not care. I'm going to assume no. I mean, I don't know what it's called, but there's that whatever's law, which is never attribute to malice, anything that can be explained by stupidity or whatever. And it's the same thing here. Maybe the guy thought he knew Chris and didn't. Or maybe he didn't know Chris in this regard, but knew something else that's, I don't know, annoying him or whatever the case is. And he decided to do this. But I really see it as one of those couple of things. Either it was a willful dick move, which I'm not going to. I don't know the guy.
Nobody knows.
But second possibility is he just didn't really realize how this is going to affect Chris.
I think
better know your group.
Yeah.
Or he didn't explain it to Chris at least sufficiently.
Or maybe
to
he
get
did
Chris
some
sign off, and
maybe he did some really awesome stuff, and Chris totally missed it because he's old and senile.
Mm.
And the
as
entire
Chris described this story, he does sound pretty dense.
Yeah.
I mean, Chris is as dense as German bread sometimes.
And so this whole awesome narrative.
Just ask Donald Duck about that.
Yeah. And this whole awesome narrative play is going on. And all the whole group is in on. The game master is just like giving the guy bennies because it's awesome. And Chris is like, wee.
In all honesty.
Because we're only hearing it from Chris's perspective, right?
We only hold in my armpits.
Pretty accurate because we did talk about it a little bit after the session was over with.
Yeah.
And he was explaining this, and he goes, that's why I was kind of saying this kind of stuff beforehand. That's why he was coming up and annoying you when you were trying to pray and all that. I looked at him and I said, yeah, I had no idea that. I thought that was just you being you. And You know,
the player being the character.
Exactly. I thought that was just the player being the player. And I totally missed it. And see, and that, for me, that was kind of a frustrating part, because I was looking at this from a lot of different angles. And
yeah, because it's all about perception.
Because he was doing a very good job of doing exactly what you're talking about, putting it out in a little bit small doses and kind of dropping it before he really dropped the big bomb. And
so,
me as the player, I missed it. I missed what he was doing. And so I kind of, in a certain way, felt bad that I kind of ruined this RP that he was trying to create. Mm. It didn't have the impact that I think he wanted it to have, the dramatic impact, because of my obtuseness.
See, I think that's what happened with Pat and I, like, what, a year ago, 2 years ago, with the phone incident, where I hung up on you. Because what had happened, now that I'm kind of, I don't think we talked about it in the episode, but kind of thinking back on this perspective, you and I, so again, Pat and Chad.
Are you talking about that EOR game where
I shut off the communication.
Because you kept saying phone. I'm like, did you call him and hang up?
No, no. I thought you were talking about an actual phone call.
Okay, yeah, go on.
No. This is all in character. So Pat and Chad, not Pat and Chad's character, are having a conversation and we're joking around and we're going on back and forth. And then Pat and Chad's character are conversating in character and it's a nice ha-ha, blah, blah, blah. And then Pat's character says something to my character, which sets my character off, which makes me hang up the phone. And then suddenly Pat's mental flow is, I'm joking, I'm having fun. Slap him right in the mouth. And Pat's like, what the f*** did you just do to me? And you know, I get that. And that's, it's not a rational cognitive thing. It's just the mental process of it. And I get that emotional flow. And I'm wondering if that's kind of what happened to Chris, where in my mind, I had this whole thing kind of going on, but I didn't let Pat in on it. And so imagine you have Chris, who's like senile as f***. And you have this kid who he's got, maybe he's not making the long play, but he's got this idea that he's just seeding into the game here and there. And Chris just didn't notice it. Like you said, Chris, I thought this was you being you, not you being the character.
Exactly.
And then when the kid plays his trump card that pulls all the little seeds together, that was like me hanging up on Pat, where it's like fun and joke. And then I turn around and I slap him in the mouth. And so Pat had a tough time decoupling the character interaction, the real interaction.
It's funny you choose that metaphor, because that was also the game that had Slapgate.
Slapgate in it, yes. Mm-hmm.
But, yes, you know, I think that does speak to kind of an important point in regards to if you're going to do this and that kind of stuff. But on everybody else's end, you kind of got to be observant, and you've got to make sure that you know that what is going on for the other players around the table, that they're actually, whether they're just, you know, hey, I'm just Chris just dicking around, or I'm here, I'm in character, and I'm playing my role right now, so pick up on the shit I'm dropping.
That's one of the problems I have in role-playing, that I have in role-playing, is that I flip back and forth between the in-character and out-of-character like there's no line or border at all. Because I'll be talking to Pat or Wayne or anybody, and I've had them ask me, well, wait a minute, is that in character or out of character? And then I'll be like, no, that was in character. It's like, really? So, you know, I think that some of this is on the person doing it, but I think that some of it is also on the person who it is being done to. You really have to consider, is this guy insulting me? Like, me? Or is this part of a role-playing thing?
Does it make any difference to you guys if it happens early in the campaign versus in the finale? Because something I've always wanted to see happen in a game that I've been in, but it's never happened, is I want to have that big reveal for one of the characters. Not for me, because it's not something I'm looking for. But I want to have one of the characters have one of the big reveals at the finale.
Like the grand betrayal?
Yeah.
I'd love it.
Yeah, it's something I've never seen happen in a game. I would love to have a player do it to me in a game.
Well, Wayne, let me say, the grand finale reveal can be pretty cool, but you have to do it right.
Yeah.
Because the one rough thing about a grand finale reveal, there's no more game to fix it.
Yeah. Right. If something players have to have a chance to deal with it.
Exactly.
It can't be, this is the grand finale, I've got the diamond, I hit self-destruct while I teleport out. It's got to be, this is the grand finale. I grab the diamond. Now I have to get to the airlock and you've got a chance to stop me.
Exactly. To quote the good book, never let the sun go down in your anger. To use a more modern colloquialism, don't go to bed mad.
Yeah.
And
don't drive angry.
It's the same thing, because imagine a conversation where you and I are talking and an hour into it, I say something that offends you. But then we have a chance to say, no, that wasn't cool. And we talk it out. And then we go on to talk about something else. And probably by the time we get up and part ways, it's really not on your mind. Not certainly the way it was. You know, you're in a different place emotionally. Now imagine the same scenario. We're having a conversation. I say something that really pisses you off. And that's the last thing we say to each other. That creates a much deeper kind of wound, because now it has time to fester and stew, and there was nothing done to address it on the spot. And that's what you got to watch for in games. If you decide to drop a big bomb, especially an inflammatory one, then that may be the final. I mean, this symphony ends on a fart, and that's rough.
Well, you also have to watch out for the grand betrayal, too. So the grand betrayal is the big bad was Pat all along, and he glues on his little twirly mustache. The problem with that, if it's not done right, is a good game master can really get his players to get their hate on. And you create this big bad, you create this situation or this entity or this problem that the game master directs the negative emotions on. Directs the hate, the anger towards, like, man, this guy burned the orphanage and he blew up my planet and he flipped over my table with my birthday cake on it and he spilled soda on my shirt. Now I'm all angry. Then it turns around and it reveals all of a sudden that Pat is the big bad. Well, what happens to that emotion? All that emotion that is very healthily anger being put on something that doesn't exist. It's an imaginary construct of this big bad in this fake story that we're playing that all the players are putting their anger and negative emotions on, and they're just like, oh, grr, I'm so angry. But it's very healthy because it doesn't exist. Suddenly that all gets transferred to Pat's character and Pat the player.
Yeah.
And that doesn't necessarily mean, I'm not going to say this is going to go all like Columbine where people are going to like flip the table and go crazy and postal on him, but you got to know your group. You got to do it right. Maybe dial the hate back a bit if you're the game master and you know that
this idea is one that I was wanting to try to bring into this episode anyway, because we have a good example of this that didn't happen because it goes, and it's twofold. To answer your question, Wayne, I think if this were to have been done as a finale reveal, I would have been okay with it. But then also it works into the whole, you should talk about it before you even start the campaign, because we did this, and I don't know if you'll remember this character or not, but I don't remember which game it was, but we were trying to come up with a game and with characters for the game, and Chad, we had gotten our game, we had sort of group templated out, and we were all had our characters, and then Chad, your first idea for a character was, I'm going to be that everyone's beloved friend, and we were all good friends, but he says, but I'm not, I'm actually, I forget what it was, but I'm a shapeshifter, I'm a shapeshifter that killed your companion and has been impersonating him. And then, but then furthermore, it's like, I want this to come out relatively quickly in the game,
right?
That this is what's happened. And I said, and I literally called it. I mm-hmm. called on you. I said, Chad, here's the thing. When you reveal that to me, that you have killed my friend and have been impersonating him, you will not get your redemptive arc that you're trying to go for, because I will kill you on the spot if I'm able to, because that's what you've done. So now, as a grand finale reveal, same kind of thing. I'll probably try to, you know, tap you, but it's the end of the campaign. So
well, in that situation, you're supposed to.
Exactly. Yeah. It'll be, whoa, but On the flip side, though, you try to reveal that first or second session, then I'm like,
well, and I think the discussion on something like that, I'm very much a player and a GM who I really don't like to say no. So if someone said that to me, if I were sitting in your place, and not saying that what you said was wrong, what you said is absolutely right. Yeah, there's a reveal like that, and it's that heavy handed. Yeah, you take out the swords and battle axes and shotguns and holy water, and it's just like, okay, he's going down. Mm-hmm. But my thing is, because the game was not ongoing and we were creating the group template and such, obviously the desire there is to create a redemption arc. The presentation of that is terrible. The I'm going to be your best friend who is a shapeshifter who does a pop surprise in the right. second game. Oh, God, that is a terrible idea that I had, yeah. and it will work.
Well, and you know, Chet, what I loved about when you presented it, sometimes I really love having Dawn in the group, because if I'm going to run something and I have a concern about a character that Chad is trying to pitch, I don't have to say anything. Dawn will jump on him.
Mm-hmm.
In that particular case...
Oh, yeah, she calls my bullshit all the time.
In that particular case, she looked at you and said, would you just not play a loner just for once? Play somebody that's part of the group.
Well, I was in a game where this actually happened and played out. I mean, I can tell you firsthand, at least in that situation, it went very poorly. It was a Transformers game. I was not.
Is that one where text just flew off?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was a Transformers
game. So it's like that. Talk about ending on a fart.
Was the robot in disguise? In disguise.
So
yeah, it was.
Everyone was playing more or less independence. We basically got along. I think the group had loosely Autobot sympathies, but we weren't actually Autobots. Though it was my game, Paul was running it. I wasn't the GM. We knew that Tex had Decepticon loyalties of a sort, but it just never occurred to us how far that went. And so throughout this whole campaign arc, we're searching for the MacGuffin, fighting for the MacGuffin. We finally, after all this work, gets the MacGuffin. And then all of a sudden, he's just gone. And he'd been passing notes with Paul this whole time, which we knew, but it's like none of us thought it went this far. And then it's like, yeah, he took the MacGuffin and ditched the party and went back to report to Megatron. And the game's over. And that's the end of the campaign.
There was no clue, no hint, no indication at all.
I mean,
that other goes than, to my point of the
other than meta, they were passing a lot of notes.
Which, goes to my point that the anything, players have to have a chance to stop it.
Bingo.
Yeah. And, otherwise, it's not fun for anyone.
And that was, from my understanding, it was like, okay, he transforms and flies off. And he's like, well, why is he flying off? Well, why does he have the box? Well, we can't stop him because none of us can fly. And it's just like, and that's it. The end.
Yeah.
Symphony ends on a fart. Like, oh, way to go. You don't get to GM for a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, there was cards being pulled.
There was a lot of tableside profanity.
Yeah.
It was like, this wasn't good. This was just a kick in the nuts. It's like, why did you do this?
Failure is great. I ran an Inception game, my Lucid game, back when I was playtesting it, back when I was still calling it Inception. And it was one of the first games I ran of it. And there's a couple booters is at Gen Con. And we played for like 4.5 hours, maybe 5 hours of this deeply intense story role playing game that was very in character and Jenga mechanic, very tense, right? And they failed. But they failed. I didn't fail them. I didn't f them over. They failed. And their opinion was, this was one of the most amazing games I'd ever played because they earned that failure.
And when we playtested it, when us around the table here playtested it, I remember my character
played Silent Memories.
And we were playing it with Mikey Mason. My character was a traitor.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of those things where we got to the end. He did his best to betray, but everybody had a chance to stop him.
Yeah.
Well, that's because the group leader in that game was me, and I am such a steady pimping mofo. I mean, gracious Wayne, trying to screw me. I mean, it's like,
and I
it's like trying to headbutt a brick wall.
I, as a player, would have never done it.
So abused. Dan, every time...
You know why you failed to betray me?
Because
of my abuse. I am so prepared for it. Wayne's got, like, one hammer to abuse me with. I've got a Sears hardware store.
I love you so much, but time you tell a story about your gaming abuse, I just want to give you a hug.
and
no one should have to go through this in role play.
And in this case, Dan, you didn't have to do anything. I, as a player, would never screw over the group and not let them attempt to stop me.
Yeah.
Because that's just a dick move. I'm not going to do it because that's not going to be fun for anyone because I don't want to ruin the whole game for everyone.
You know, I kind of carry that over.
I want to either fail or if I'm successful, I want it to be difficult.
Yeah, I kind of carried that over into another game of that. It was a very different setup. No, I'm sorry. This was, what was this game? Adam Godfrey was running it.
Yes.
It is actually funny that you mentioned this. That's his other game, Silent Memories.
Yeah, that's right.
And it was Adam's hack of it called Croatoan?
Croatoa.
Yeah, and in that game, I had no idea whether I really trusted Wayne. It actually turns out Wayne's character was... He was on the solid.
You know what's going to be awesome? Wayne's going to run this Croatoa for us on Sunday.
Ah, okay.
I have never played in a game that I have wrote. I've only run it. I've never played one of my own games. So I'm really looking forward to this.
So I'm going to be playing... I actually have from Adam all of his notes from when he ran it for us. And I talked to him yesterday because I need one more character. So we brainstormed and came up with the additional character.
Oh, cool.
Nice.
Chad, make sure that when Wayne is running it, take plenty of opportunity to say, no, no, that's not how you do it. Trust me, I wrote this game.
Yes. Nothing is better.
I'm going to lawyer the crap out of you. You know why this is the greatest game for Wayne to run? Because
I have no work to do whatsoever?
Yes. That, and not only are there no dice in it, there's no mechanic for the GM. The GM never makes a pull. He never rolls dice. He never does anything random. Your dice curse will not affect you. You will actually, for the first time, be the all-powerful GM.
Nice. That is true.
The tower is going to collapse on the first pull.
Yeah.
Alrighty. So,
did I tell you the story about how I kicked over a tower during one of my games?
You mean you kicked the table or something?
I was at Fear the Con. It was the break. So we've been playing for 2 hours.
Beer is going to come into the story.
No. Oh my God, I wish. We had been playing for 2 hours, and as you play any of the Jenga games, like my two games or Dread or anything like that, the more time goes on, the more people start backing up from the table and not doing, the tension is super high, super serious. There's like no comedy anymore, and it's just like, oh my God.
The first time I played Dread, we didn't even sit at the same table the tower was in.
Yeah.
We had a separate table and we would walk over to use the tower.
So
it's a good idea.
Everyone's like, okay, I got to decompress for a minute. Everyone's like, I need to get a beer. I need to smoke a cigarette. I don't even smoke. I need to smoke a cigarette. I need to go to the bathroom. I just need to get away from this for a minute. I'm like, okay, guys, go ahead and do it. We'll be fine. I just sat there and then I crossed my legs under the table and my foot went... hit the table, smash, and the whole thing came down. And I'm just looking at it like, what have I done?
You have this thing with tables. Do you remember back when we were playing Necromunda? We were playing at Paul's grandfather's house, and he had a table with a glass top. And you were just like sitting there like moving figs around. Backed up and your ass went through this table.
No, it didn't go through the table. My ass went through the window. It was a glass pane on the window, but it was an old window, so the glass panes were smaller. And
your ass was made of rocks.
And I brushed against the... It wasn't like I pushed my big old butt out and smashed through the window into the neighbor's yard. But no, I mean, it was literally I brushed against the window and... crack, and it smashed in.
Oh, jeez. That sucks.
So, anyway, check the show notes link to Gamers Behaving Kegels Badly.
Yes. Yeah, they do. Watch it, listen to it, enjoy it, love it. Dan, by the way, you play a very good exasperated GM, I have to say.
Well, thank you, Chris. Now, you know, there is probably a bonus episode in that and talking about what it's been like to record this, what I think we're doing right, what I think we need to improve on. I got to say, Chris, I enjoy the project very much, but... it's certainly, you know, the first few episodes of anything always has some room to grow.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's definitely there. There's a few things I'm cringing at that we did.
Even on mine, I go back and I'll listen to it and I think, wow, I really wrote that. That was really shitty. I probably should fix that.
Beyond that, have a great week and great games. And we will catch you guys next time.
See ya.
This has been a production of Fear the Boot, copyright 2015. Listeners are free to use this show in any non-commercial endeavor as long as credit is provided to feartheboot.com. You can find previous episodes and other resources at feartheboot.com. Fear the Boot is also a member of the Pulp Gamer Media Network of shows. You can find other great shows in this network at pulpgamer.com.